Episode 540, May 24th, 2021.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
Welcome to the Robin Joe Show. Looks like we have a nice, fat chat room. Yeah, I'm surprised that Jeremy is in the chat, because I know he sent a song that you guys said we will not be playing.
We're going to play it next week.
Got it. So
you know, you can't have 2 weeks in a row of Jeremy songs. It's just, you got to spread the love.
Yeah, once he hears that, he won't know, because we're talking about it now.
Well, you'll understand more next week, but why we're playing that song then. But it's a... I wish we should start asking people to get in chat. I know, because we're pretty consistent now about doing it Monday night live.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, you know, you're listening on a Wednesday or a Thursday, hop on your computer on Monday night. What's the actual website, Robbie?
Yeah, good point. We haven't given out that website. I'll bet you we haven't given out in 5 years.
It's robinjoe.com, and you click on the live feed link.
There you go.
And then you're in chat.
You immediately pop into chat.
I'll bet we haven't given that out in 5 years.
I bet you're correct. We're pretty bad about that.
That
it's really not your fault if you're not in chat. We've made it incredibly hard by not telling you.
I remember when our friend Vegas, he goes, I can't figure out how to listen to this show.
Right.
And I'm like, it doesn't seem that hard. Now that would annoy Robbie, because Robbie's a technical guy. But if you're a novice, I guess...
Oh my God! I mean, he couldn't figure out how to listen live or find the show at all.
He couldn't figure out how to listen live.
Okay. Well, because if you just Google Robin Joe Show, I'm sure there's all kinds of ways. Anyway, welcome to the show. I had a couple things happen to me this past week that hadn't happened in a long time. I bombed at a comedy show, and I went maskless inside of a grocery store.
Oh yeah, I got. Was it your experience that everybody else in there was wearing a mask, and you were the one that felt weird?
Well. Let me explain. Yes, first of all, but this is what happened. I went to a Harris Teeter, the grocery store I always go to, and I forgot my mask. And then I have one in my car, but it's just dirty, and it's like, it's this caps.
You don't want to wear it. I got
it. It's this caps mask. It's tight. It makes my cheeks look
fatter. And the caps just got
That was the day of game five, so they hadn't lost.
It's not a shot.
Right. Okay. But I was wearing a caps hat, and then the mask, it had the same logo.
Oh, you looked ridiculous.
And I was like, I don't want... to match, because if I'm wearing that, you're only wearing that if you think this looks good. Like, it's purposeful.
Right,
and I'm like, so I see a guy walking out of the store without a mask.
Yes.
So then I walk up. I still have mine on. Then I see a sign that says, per CDC guidelines, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask.
Right.
So I take my mask off. I walk in. Everyone's got the mask.
Yes, everyone does.
Now, then I felt uncomfortable because of that. I don't want to stand out. And although I agree that it's important that we should be getting off the mask.
Right.
I'm not a leader. I'm a follower.
You're
I don't want to be the one that does this. But I will say I didn't feel like I got any weird looks. Nobody said anything. And I wasn't even sure how I would handle it if somebody did say something, because I don't want confrontation. I have the mask in my pocket.
Right.
So
just in case you want to double caps it.
Well, somebody,
you don't wear a double mask. You wear double capitals.
Right. Yeah. But if somebody had said, hey, do you mind putting your mask on? I probably would have. I was sure. But if somebody was a dick about it, then I don't know what I would have done.
Almost every single time you go,
do I need to wear a mask? They go, it's up to you. That's what's been happening to me.
Right.
Except for I went into the melting pot. Do you know what the melting pot is?
Yeah, the fondue place.
Yeah, I think this is no reflection on the melting pot. I got to be careful. Katie got sick. She got food poisoning.
Okay.
Now, we ate all the same thing. Except she ate a piece of uncooked broccoli. It's the only thing she ate.
Huh.
And then she Googled it. Apparently that's like a, what's the word, a haven for E. coli or whatever.
All right.
So I don't know if that's what she got it from. But anyway, that isn't the story that I was telling because we love the melting pot. But when I go.
I threw up in there once as a kid.
Nice.
Was it the melting pot? I remember it was a fondue place.
Hasn't that melting pot been around forever?
But I thought I was the one that threw up in the fondue place, Robbie. I thought it was me.
It probably was, but if I see you throw up, then I probably threw up too.
Yeah, I threw up in the fondue place. And by the way, this story about me throwing up in the fondue place, I'll bet that story is around the bicentennial. That's how old that story is.
Easily.
It's a very, very old story. But anyway.
I've never had fondue.
It's good. It's more the event than it is the food's right. Not, you'll have better food a lot of places. It's probably as good as Outback, you know.
It's the whole.
It's the experience, stick. Right? The experience. You know, you get to order it and they give you all these things and you cook it and they always go, here's what they say, they go cook the shrimp for 90 seconds. What, you think you have a fucking mental clock for 90 seconds? So I'm there, I put my stopwatch on. And Katie starts shitting on me.
I just do the pie plate closer. It's about 90 seconds with
applause. Yes, that's right. Then you know, yes. And then you wait till the applause dies down. Right. And then you eat your shrimp. Okay, that makes sense. But anyway, when I went in there, it was the only place I go, hey, do I have to wear my mask? And they said yes. And all of them were wearing masks. Okay. Of course, one girl had green hair, so I should have known. So I put my mask on. I walked up to him. I take it off and never wear it again.
Right.
It's just such a dumb. It's dumb. Now, me, just to prove that I'm not some anti-masker. If you ask me to wear a mask, I will. Actually, that's not true. I am an anti-masker, but I'm not militant. I'll just do whatever the rule. I'll follow the rules. But it is dumb that we're doing this. I'm vaccinated.
Well, yes.
Katie's vaccinated. We already know that we're approaching herd immunity. I've already had it. All the things that you would
of
need
course.
To have in order to. Be maskless in a place, and of course, I still wore it.
Look, you can be afraid of flying and recognize that flying is very safe, but you could just say, look, I'm afraid, and I get that.
So, hold on, I'm getting shit on for the melting pot. First thing, Benchwarmer says, melting pot, what a flex. Did it appear that I was bragging? Did I appear braggy?
I didn't even know that was a nice place.
Right,
so.
I mean, yeah, so that was funny. And then Miggity Max says, the melting pot is so overrated. Didn't I just say that the food was equivalent to Outback, that it's not that great? Didn't I just say that? Anyway, whatever.
Well, there's a pizza restaurant that my dad's best friend owned and still owns in Front Royal, Virginia. That's still my favorite pizza, and it's called the Melting Pot. So
how does that even make sense? Oh, because all races are welcome there?
I mean, it's probably been around 50 years. So Front Royal, by the way, there's a lot of races in Front Royal, Virginia, a lot of white races.
So Mac says, Joe, please wear a mask while doing this show. I think the quality will improve. And, of course, who laughs? Gramps, LOL.
Of course. Right. He's never worn a mask in his life.
Right. Gramps. He doesn't, of course, but I'm getting shit on, so that's.
It was a funny lie.
Right. It was.
So I did a show. The DC Improv put this on. They tried to do it a couple times. It kept getting canceled. It's outside. Outside Nats Park, there's this place called the Bullpen. It's an outdoor little sitting area. There's a stage. There's obviously a bar. You know, it's mainly for, you know, you go to the game, and then you either go there before or after or during or whatever. So, but they had a comedy show, and it was packed. They're all, you know, picnic tables, and it's, I don't know how many people there, but it's hard to, but it's 200 people, I guess. And it's beautiful weather.
Wow, it's packed.
This was like Wednesday night, I want to see. Yeah, Wednesday night.
And
the weather
crowded.
Was perfect.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, if you take the metro down there, it's literally you're right off the metro. You walk right across the street, you're there. So there's six of us. Danny Ruyer is emceeing, our buddy, 106.7 The Fan, so we got to talk sports. And I'm going last. So everyone's doing 15. So I'm going up an hour and 15 into the show. Now, this is the thing. Allison And Chris White, the couple of owners of the DC Improv, and Antoine, manager, they're all there in the front row. And Allison even said, yeah, I hate to be up front like this. That's where they sat us. And, you know,
right.
And I'm like, yeah. So I make a joke about that, you know, foreshadowing. So, you know, it's going pretty well. It's outside, so it's hard to. And there's also a thing above us where there's another, like, bar area where they're having a separate event. It's some Georgetown social thing. And so they're loud, but they're in their own world, but yet it's outside, so we're all sharing this space together. So anyway, Paris Sachet is going right before me. Paris is as likable and really as cool. Nobody comes off any
right.
cooler than she does. And then I'm especially uncool following her. She's just, I don't know what she is. She's probably late 20s, black woman. She dresses. She just has a cool vibe. She's a lesbian, but she'll... She's every white girl is in love with her because they're like, oh my God, I want her to be my black friend. You know, that's so,
right, gotcha.
Right. So, and everyone loves her. And she's really funny too. So she goes up before me and she immediately realizes that telling jokes is stupid. So she starts fucking around, gets some laughs. Then she does this rant about buying a strap on and then her leg, she's going to get a cramp in her leg. And she
right.
realizes when guys fuck, they get cramps in their leg. And it's really funny. And so I go up there thinking I could just piggyback on that. And I made a joke about you just woman-splained having a dick to me and I loved it or something.
Right.
And a couple little asides about a cicada wearing a mask. I thought that it was crushing online and crush later.
Right.
Goobies, you know, not really. And then I started to tell jokes and I feel like I'm getting nothing. And then I tell the jokes about, you know, my girlfriend, Tawana, and the hair. And this is the joke that... If there's a joke that I want to do well in front of a certain audience, it's a group of black women. And
right.
I'm staring at this table, and I might as well be speaking another language. By the way, they're not talking. They're focused. They're paying
they're
attention.
Like, I don't like this.
Right. Then, by the way, the next night at Magoobie's, exact same table,
no,
demographic.
Right.
And fucking, they're throwing the tables
well,
around.
Well, right, I got you. But also, you're a professional comic. You know that that happens. But
right.
It's still, that's what sits with you.
Well, then I actually said to me, oh, this is the worst night of my life. I survived COVID for this, you know. Then I started doing crowd work, which is hard to do because you're far away. But I, you know, and I got a few laughs. I made some dumb crowd work line, and they laughed at that. And I was like, really? You laughed at that? That was like
right.
So it was
a show you didn't want to bomb at.
Right. But nobody cared. But I was actually shook. Like, not like I was like, I drove home and the Caps lost in the fucking overtime. And I was like, I had lost confidence because I don't remember the last time I bombed in that situation. You're also bombing in front of your comic peers, too. They're right. They're also sitting
right
up front, right?
Yes, but people that know you're funny.
Yeah, but people could think maybe he's not funny after COVID. Maybe he hasn't done comedy. Maybe he's lost a step. Of course, then I go to Magoobie's and I crushed all weekend. But so
Benchwarmer had a suggestion for you in chat, Rob.
Please.
He said you should have used a pie plate closer. It's undefeated.
That's correct.
Well, I should have definitely done some different things, and maybe I should have. I did have, though, a tweet that blew up this week.
Go ahead.
So I don't know if you liked it.
I can't imagine if I saw it, I wouldn't have.
Yeah, let me see.
If I see your tweet, I like it.
Because Hampton Yount retweeted it, and that
got
me. Oh, that's
good. Yeah, that helps. That helps.
Yeah, 220 likes.
Oh, that's huge,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, 28 retweets.
Jeez.
I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but I'm convinced the COVID vaccine was created in a lab. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
I also did really well on stage with the cicadas came out and were like Tom Brady still. That was crushing on stage. Didn't do as well on Twitter, but still did well. So I had a good week otherwise. But then Magoobie's with Rich Voss, where I worked with him a couple years ago.
Man, Mac is coming at me hard.
All right.
If Joe really liked the tweet, he would have stolen it. Do I have a reputation for doing that?
If anything, I've been stealing your jokes.
Do I have a reputation for stealing jokes? I don't think so. So Ariel said on here, Rob, let me tweet for you. Let me tell you something. Do you know Ariel's pretty prolific?
Oh, she's very prolific.
Now, she does a lot of retweeting, but
she had one that blew up with, you know, she drove past her school and her kid was like, you know, didn't even say anything. It's just a look on her face.
Priceless. Yeah. No, she's good, but she also travels in a circle that's foreign to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hot girls.
Well, no, it's more
younger.
It's more the black
yes.
culture, and there's a
right.
lot of that. And I always see that, and I'm like, that's how I get exposure to that
right.
through Ariel's tweets, and they're really good. But when I went to the when I went to the Oriole game, I tweeted that I was at the Oriole game, And Ariel goes, oh, my brother's there. He's really tall. He's a really tall black guy. I go, oh, I'm avoiding him.
I saw that.
Okay.
Yeah.
No likes.
Yeah.
Like, is that racist?
I mean, pretty
is
much.
Is that what it is?
It came off that
so
way.
As soon as I said that, I'm like, geez, seriously?
Well, this is how old we are. Do you get Ariel's, her screen name?
Yeah, it's JoJo Siwa.
I don't know who that is.
So that's the.
JoJo Siwa is 37 years old. That's her
right.
Twitter
so JoJo
name.
Siwa is a child star. She's probably the most obnoxious child star. She used to be on Dance
right.
Moms, and then.
Okay.
She was also the best dancer. Her name was JoJo with the Bobo. That's what it was.
I assumed it was really funny because she just she chose
but she
it.
She said she's 37 years old.
Right.
But yes, actually, I do. Could you believe it? I get it.
So I do Magoobies. Had a really good weekend there. Got my confidence back. But. The MC, I think it was his first time MCing. By the way, this guy, this is what he drank Saturday night. I shouldn't make fun of somebody drinking crazy things because that's, you know, I've done that.
Right.
But he drinks Jack Daniels on the rocks. Then he drinks a glass of champagne to celebrate his first week in MCing. Then he drinks a Long Island iced tea. Then he drinks another glass of champagne.
Are they hammered?
I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you celebrating this much? You're outside. Everyone's outside, and you're drinking champagne. It just seems weird to me.
Do I know this guy?
What's this guy's name?
No, his name's Morgan. He's a nice guy. So, but this is what happened. The very first night, it's Thursday night. It's him. It's just three of us, him, me, and Rich Voss. I'm going second. And I'm standing there in the corner or sitting in the corner and I'm watching his whole set. I'm supposed to do 10 minutes. 5 minutes in. He starts plugging Wits In, the bar that's connected. So I think he forgot to do that in the beginning, and then he's remembering to do it.
Right.
Then he goes, all right, we got a great chill. It's here for your headliner, Rob Mayer. Now, sometimes, usually this would be in the beginning also, but you would say, hey, we got a great show. Let's give it up for your headliner, yada, 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 and your feature, yada, yada, yada. And then you start telling your jokes.
Right.
He's bringing me up.
Okay, and he said you were the headliner.
But I don't think he's doing that. I think he meant to just give it up for Rich Voss. And not bring me up. So he's staring at me. I go, I'm not the headliner. He goes, all right, give it up for your feature, Rob Mayer. I still sit there. No, the DJ's not playing my song. And he's only done 5 minutes. And I'm like, oh, you're bringing me up? So, oh, shit. I had no idea. But there's like 15 people there. So we can all hear this back and forth.
Right, right, right.
So I just went up there and shit on him. But
yes,
I was like,
of course.
And he said that he didn't want to go over the light. So he just did 5 minutes less. I was like, that's not really how
it
works.
Are you like, yeah, you're getting paid.
Right.
Hey, you know the rules.
He was nervous.
Do your time. Show up on time, do your time, right. Don't fuck the wait staff. It's very simple. That's it.
You also can't go over the light if you see the light and then immediately stop or end your joke.
Right.
That, yeah.
You can also cut your joke. Well, maybe he can't.
Right.
But I was going to say, you can also just cut your joke short.
Right.
If you need to do that as well. But
and then one night he introduced me as heard on 98 Point Rock.
Was he drunk that time too?
I don't know. So I made fun of that on stage. And then the next show... He said 98 Rock, not 98 Point Rock. He calls back to him a screw up that the crowd has no idea what he's talking about. Then the next night he goes, you've heard him on 98 Rock. That's a local radio station. He gives that as if they don't know. The Rich Voss audience doesn't know that 98 Rock is a station that's been around, 60 years? I don't even know how long.
Are you like, all right, here I go. But that was fun in front of the 15 people.
Well, that was just Thursday. It's actually, there's probably 40 people. But it's still, but the crowds got bigger. And people were, it seemed like we're getting up for a big Sunday next.
Oh no,
May 30
I know.
For
and
our
I,
murder mystery.
And I was
good numbers.
Well, you know, it's hard for me to not be serious when I talk about how important it is that we're about to do our first show that's full capacity.
Yeah, our first show, or this will be like a show that we did previous to 2020, previous to March of 2020.
I said February 14th was the last time we did a. Now it might not have been exactly Valentine's Day. But the Valentine's Day show was the last time we did a full capacity show. Am I right about that?
Of 2020.
In 2020.
Yes.
So it's been, what, a year and 3 months since we've had people in there. You know, and what I was saying is, and of course, you know, I don't necessarily know, and I like Kirk, but I don't know that he's like-minded in me in terms of how I view what's happened over the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. But what I do say is how important this is that we get to do this.
Yeah.
I also talked about concerts that I missed that I wanted to go see that I didn't get to see.
Yeah.
You know, and shows that I wanted to do, like the Ravens Beach Bash we were going to do. You know,
2 years we lost that.
Shows we were going to do, you know, and how important it was that we get back in community and how important it was for the arts. And, of course, somebody calls in and goes, have you considered live streaming it? No, that's what I'm done fucking doing. I'm done live streaming shit. because when you sit next to somebody in community and they laugh and it's contagious and there's an energy, you can't get that from these fucking virtual reality shows that our friends Tommy and Eric and Justin love so much. I don't want that.
No.
Yes, it's a cool technology, but man, we don't want to get away from what makes this great, this live performance great, and that's the energy that is created from a crowd where people are on top of each other.
Yes, you can't replicate it. You can't replicate it on Zoom or any other medium. It has to be live in front of people, and that's just, there's no substitute. Let's take a break. Rob and Josh will be right back.
Love is in the air. Or is it murder? Die Laughing Productions is back and ready to have some fun at the expense of TV's premier dating reality show, The Bachelor. We proudly present The Final Rose. Contestants vie for the heart of our beautiful bachelorette, but love truly is a battlefield. Before someone can find love and accept the final rose, some unlucky person will take their final breath. The Final Rose stars all of your incredibly lovable Die Laughing Productions performers and, as always, you, the audience. We have roles available for willing volunteers, and everyone will get a chance to solve our most shocking murder ever.
Next performance, May 30th at McGoobie's Joke House, Timonium. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show. With Joe Robinson and Rob Mayer.
Beep.
Here's a word from our sponsors.
So,
you almost talked over the tennis ball at the end.
Sorry. So Rich Voss, he pulls his phone out. He goes, and he's about to post something. And he goes, tell me if this makes sense. I think it's going to be a joke or something. It's like this fucking three-paragraph thing about Israel and Palestine.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, well, first of all, I'm pretty much an idiot on this whole subject.
Yeah,
I've pay very little attention. I wouldn't attempt to make any sort of argument
right.
at the point because I am not smart.
Whose side was he on?
Israel.
Okay.
And now I said, look, you're making. I understand what you're saying. I think you're making. I agreed with him, but again, I wouldn't. If somebody disagreed, I wouldn't. I would say I can't argue.
Right, right.
But he was making cogent points, and but he's like, should I post this? And I'm like, well, look, it's up to you, man. I mean, you, like, I don't post shit like that because, like, I don't want to, somebody argues with me and it fucks up my whole day. Like, I can't deal with it. But, like, it's up to you. Can you do that? He goes, well, I'll just block them. And then he posted. It got mostly, of course, it got a lot of traction, but, because he has a bunch of followers. But I just thought it was funny. He's asking me, the Jewish person who's not paying attention to this whole
subject.
Did
you say, where's Israel?
Yes. What part of the
country
is that?
It's funny because sometimes it feels good to write all that out, post it, and take it down. I'm not kidding. It feels good.
No, I agree with that.
Like, I put it out there. And by the way, people do that. And then they screenshot it and go, you said this, right?
Right.
But I've never really posted anything I didn't mean and took it down. But I have posted things that I'm like, this is too, in this world we live in, it's too much. And I've taken it down.
Right.
But I don't have any opinion on that either.
I have an opinion on Phil Mickelson.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how great? Did you watch any of that, Robbie? I don't know. You're not a big golf person.
I guarantee
I literally saw the last putt.
Oh, you did? How did you know to watch it, Robbie?
I didn't know to watch it. I just happened to see it.
Oh, really? Where were you?
I was at home.
You happened to turn that on?
Yes.
You got lucky to see
probably
that.
Probably trying to turn it on 60 minutes. And
yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, what the fuck is this?
It was. It went over, so it was on the 60 minutes recording.
You watch 60 minutes, Robbie?
I record it.
I rarely watch it.
I rarely watch it.
I can't believe people still watch 60 Minutes. It's such a fucking propaganda piece. It's so bad.
But when he has that last shot, the approach shot on the green.
When he's
mobbed by people. That was the first time that I felt like I was watching something that COVID was over.
Yeah.
Because it was the mob of people. They were around him. When he won, everyone was celebrating. There was none of this fist bumping. They were hugging.
Yes.
They were handshakes.
Jumping,
they
making
were
out with each other.
Like, you really wouldn't know if you saw, obviously, people with masks on. But if you saw that and didn't know about COVID, you wouldn't even register. You would just think it was a normal. And it was a mad scene.
Well, I want to talk about that because
Phil, it was a beautiful sight.
Phil Mickelson didn't look worried. But he was getting mobbed.
Yes, he was.
I mean, he was getting bumped around by this crowd. And I was like, I wonder if he's loving this. Because I was loving watching it. I was love watching the idea that I have to fight through. I remember hearing a story about Muhammad Ali, and he was arguing over purse size with somebody. He goes, I'll tell you what, how about this? We walk to the end of this block, and if we can make it, I'll take what you're offering. Right. Who knows if that's urban legend or whatever. Of course, Muhammad Ali could not make it down the street.
Right.
Right, and he was mobbed or whatever. They showed the aerial view of it, and it looked like a zombie movie.
Yeah.
And I loved it so much.
God, it was great.
It was so great, but I got a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. Did you hear about what Brooks Koepka said?
About his knee injury or something?
He started bitching because his knee got bumped. And I'm like, well,
He's a little surly guy.
Were you hurt?
Right.
Were you hurt by it? Because I got news for you, Koepka.
Yeah.
This was good for you, you dick.
Yeah, it was.
This was good for golf. Okay?
Yeah.
You realize there's no fucking way I would have been watching it if you and Louis Oosthuizen were trying to be like, okay, Phil Mickelson is the story, dick.
Of course.
So be great. Be humble. You weren't hurt.
Of course not.
He's like, I had to ice my knee. Yes, fucker. You had knees.
Because you played golf for
straight
rounds.
And you walked however many miles over 4 days. Of course you did. But God, to take away what that magical moment was, and if you got a chance to see it, and I've always rooted for Phil, and so do you, and
me
I keep
too.
Sending that clip where that kid, God, it's so great. There's a TikTok where Phil Mickelson, this kid in the gallery, he's probably 10 years old, right?
Right.
And Phil Mickelson says to this kid, he's a little kid, and he goes, should I try to drive this or should I lay up? And he goes, what would you do to the kid? And the kid goes, well, if I could drive 260 with my 3-wood, I'd try to drive it, right? And he goes, and then, of course, Mickelson takes out his 3-wood and fucking bangs it up there.
Yes.
And then he goes, you can caddy for me anytime. But there's a million stories like that about this guy.
Yeah.
Not only are there a million stories like that about this guy, he's not the oldest person ever to win the major. He's the oldest by 2 years.
4 years. 46 was
Then I saw some 48 today, and then Kirk also reported that. So I don't.
Might be a tournament on tour.
We'll have to see. Whatever. Yeah. But who cares? It doesn't matter.
Maybe you're right.
He's the first guy with a 5 in front of his number.
Right. Yes.
And he led from day 2 all the way to the end.
Yeah.
He's the fucking easiest guy in the world to root for. There was this rivalry between him and Tiger. Now, Tiger has since been a more appealing figure as he's been humbled, right?
Yes.
But when he was a dick, I was always a Phil guy.
I was always a Phil guy, too.
And I was in the vast minority because people like greatness and Tiger. Tiger's better than Phil, right? He was better than Phil. And so,
but at what cost?
Well, right. I mean,
his
ability to
be a normal person.
You know. Hell, I mean, I'm sure that any therapist would say he was abused as a child.
Of course.
What he had to go through in order just to try to navigate life with his dad, who was trying to make him into this robot, which he did.
Yeah.
But look what it did to him.
Yeah.
He couldn't really function. And by the way, I have a lot of sympathy for that because, hell, I've been through some shit in my life for sure.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of sympathy for people that have that level of greatness. Then they have that level of money. And then we say, be perfect. It's very hard to do. That's why LeBron James, every time he tweets, he says something stupider than the last time he did, right? Because he's just some high school kid who, you know, happens to be great at basketball, and now, you know, here's where he is now.
Right.
But I don't begrudge him that. But, you know, again, the point is that Mickelson did everything perfect. People were shitting on him because he had tits. You know, people were thinking.
Mickelson, I think he's never looked better.
God,
than
no,
he looks
what I'm
right
saying,
now.
Used to. But, I mean, think about this guy. He was. He won a PGA event as an amateur. He's the last guy to do it, right?
Yeah.
Then he marries an Arizona State cheerleader, who's the hottest chick on the planet.
I think she's a Phoenix Suns cheerleader, too.
Hottest chick I ever saw, because I remember
when
they did the very first time they did the Sports Illustrated Wives issue, and his wife, I go, that's his wife?
Rude.
Yeah, she looked like a fucking supermodel. And so, and he's done everything right. He gets all these endorsements. He plays great. He goes for it. You know what I mean? He goes for it, too. Even
aggressive.
Even when he had a chance to,
he
could probably play a lot more conservatively than he did even in this tournament at the end. So, anyway, it was fun as shit to see, and I'm extremely thrilled. But let's talk about the bet. The bet that could have been made on Phil Mickelson.
Oh, man.
Okay?
Well, the bet that was made by someone. Yeah.
So, our friend Tim former show announcer Tim post a picture of a ticket from Charlestown, which is a place he goes often, or at least used to go often. I don't think.
Well, that's
where
Tim would make all his sports bets.
That's where he makes his sports bets.
That's where you could bet. You can't do that in Maryland.
Robbie, do you want to guess the odds on Phil Mickelson to win this tournament? Would you like to guess?
I have no idea.
250 to 1. Okay, so he posts a ticket, $100 ticket. So you win $25,000 if you win this, right? And he posts it. And our friend goes, is that yours? And he goes, fuck no. And then he proceeds for the next, by the way, this is the day before the tournament started.
Right. Yeah.
He proceeds for the next hour just to shit on Phil about how horribly, why is he horrible? Why does he suck? You know, and then.
Why did he post the ticket?
That's a good question.
Because it's just, he probably saw it in one of his articles and he.
It was just so he could shit on Phil Mickelson?
Who knows? But like, he acted like he was offended that someone would think that was his ticket, when clearly that would have been the greatest bet, you know, any of us would ever make.
Yeah.
You might be talking about that for years.
Of course.
No, absolutely. No.
But what, a $25,000 bet? And I swear, the first thing I thought when I saw that ticket, because I even said underneath, I wish that it was my ticket.
Yeah.
I go, I'd make that bet.
Yeah.
God, I'm so pissed off at myself, because as soon as I saw that ticket, I was envious that the bet existed. They hadn't taken one shot yet. I was envious that somebody's like, God, I wish I had made that bet. $100?
You also, the way they do betting now, you can sell your bet if it's going well. If somebody, the prop swap, I think it's the website.
Yeah.
So you could have
sold it for 10
maybe
grand
after
or whatever.
Two, I don't know if you'd gotten 10 grand after. He was still a long shot. But I bet you after two rounds, you could have got 3-4 grand for your $100.
Yeah. God, you imagine you sell that, you couldn't be able to sleep at night.
No, that would bother you forever. Absolutely. Yeah. But congrats, Phil Mickelson. You you're back at the movies, Joe?
Yeah. Speaking of our friend Tim, he recommended that I see the new Guy Ritchie movie. It's called Wrath of Man. It stars Jason Statham.
Yeah.
Am I saying his name correctly?
Yes.
Dude.
It doesn't frustrate me that this movie sucked, which it did. It's not.
Did anybody in chat see Wrath of Man, or did you, Robbie?
No, Robbie didn't see it. But I guess I'll say this.
Is it only at the theater, or is it streaming?
I don't know if it's streaming or not.
Because you went to a theater.
I went to a theater to see it. By the way, you know how many people were in the theater?
I think it was dead, right?
Two.
Do you have to wear your mask while you're watching?
No.
Okay. But, I mean, did you have to, or you just took yours off?
I didn't have to.
Okay.
You know why I didn't have to?
Because no one was in there.
There's nobody in there.
But I'm saying, did you have to? And you just
I wouldn't
didn't.
Know. Right. Nobody was in
there. Okay.
And I was talking to Katie we were watching in our bedroom. Right. There's nobody there. We were just having a regular conversation with each other. It was so ridiculous. But I started thinking about when they wrote, I go, this is written like our murder mystery. You know, all of a sudden a character just pops up, the executive producer.
Yes.
And there were characters like that just to try to, you know, get you from A to B. And you're like, and I saw that, and I'm like, it made me think, our murder mysteries are written pretty well. Because ridiculous. It's all.
The whole premise is that someone gets murdered and it gets solved in an hour.
Right.
And it's not real life.
This person's cheating on this person. Well, that's the same thing as we just saw in this fucking Wrath of Man movie. But what frustrated me is Tim's like, go see Wrath of Man. It's awesome. I see it. It's shit.
Joe, fuck you.
It's absolute shit, okay? It's shit. And then I'm like, God, during the movie, I'm texting these guys.
Right.
And I was able to do that because there was nobody else in the theater. I'm like, what the fuck do you have me watching? This is shit. He's like, fuck you, blah. You know, he gets all pissed off or whatever. Anyway, I think it has, what does it have on Rotten Tomatoes? 67%?
It's 67%.
Like yeah, so two out of every three
and
critics.
91% audience.
Right, 91% audience. But again,
You say it's one of the worst movies you've ever seen.
Well, it's really not fair to do the 91%. And the reason is because, well, maybe it is. Here's why. If you go to see a Jason Statham movie, you know exactly, it's almost like, I went to a Steven Seagal movie and it sucked. Well, yeah, of course. But if you're somebody who enjoys that, it was exactly the kind of movie, you know, it's exactly what you want from it.
Yes.
The reason that 91 might have a little bit more credibility is because it's a Guy Ritchie movie.
Well, he's made some good movies.
He's made
but
some
he also
great movies.
Tries to make the movie better than some Steven Seagal movie.
Right.
He tries to be more like Tarantino.
He ain't Tarantino.
No.
Okay, by a long shot. But this movie, this reminded me a little bit of The Mule. Because if you saw The Mule, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, this premise looks so good. And then you see it, and it's
yeah,
just,
that's
they didn't
what
even
I heard.
Try. Right. It's like just everything was just mailed in, and that's what this is like. But I was more upset that Tim is like, you're just shitting on it because I liked it. Okay, so that means he thought that I'm like, in order for me to shit on Tim, I will, on Saturday night, me and my wife will drive to Annapolis, buy tickets, sit in a movie theater, watch an entire hour and a half of 2 hour movie, so I can then tell Tim it sucked.
Right.
Who the fuck would think that? There's no way in hell I would do that. But of course, Rob's saying to me, hey, more people disagree with you than agree with you. And that's, he's right. I can't really argue with that.
Well,
but
67%.
You're right.
For a critics reviewing an action movie, I mean, that's usually because they usually are harder on those movies.
You might be right about that. But the first thing you did is I looked at top critics, and it would have gotten what is considered a Rotten Tomato among the top critics.
Right.
Okay. Does that matter to me? I don't know. I'm saying it. Maybe I want to be right. But you're right. More people liked it than didn't. I don't know how. But I'll also say
you
this.
Motherfucker.
If okay. If you get a 70% on your test.
Uh-huh.
In a class. And then you get a 70% in every single class that you take. At the end of it, they hand you a diploma. You
right.
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I guess I can understand that people be like, you know, whatever. But I wasn't. But I am surprised even about the 67. But, you know, it's 8% away. It's, what, two reviews away from being
a
Rotten Tomato.
I mean, now I'm curious to seeing it. Because it, from the trailer, from who's in it, from the plot, and from these reviews, I would think it would be worth seeing.
Yeah. Well.
Anyone in chat? No one has seen this movie?
Well, that's the other thing. Think about it. People aren't going to the movies, so the only people who are going
to see it
are people who are pursuing it, right? Hey, let the dog out, will you? Because Katie's obviously home, and he's going crazy. But there are people that are seeing it, but I can't really, there's nothing I can do about.
Maybe Oscar doesn't like the show tonight.
I can't disagree with the fact that more people liked it than didn't, even critics. So, I don't know, man. I don't feel like I'm wrong. I'll
tell
you what.
Was the action not good?
It wasn't even great action. I'm dead serious.
That's really the thing
you need. It wasn't even great. He didn't even beat up the... Here's the other thing. God. By the way, spoiler alert, whatever. He's a armored car driver or passenger, but he's really not.
I've seen the trailer.
Right.
Yeah.
He's really... From some
spoiler alert,
he's
spoiler
really
alert.
Trying to exact some revenge
yes,
from some
his
other
kid
thing.
Died.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He's sitting in this thing, right?
Of course.
There's three robberies while he's working there. They're all his car. It's like, what the fuck are we supposed to believe here? What are we supposed to believe is happening here?
Supposed
to believe he's the only. By the way, you know how many people work there? 200.
See, that seems like something I would forgive because that's the movie I'm seeing.
Right, I hear what you're saying, but because
Guy
Ritchie
wrong.
Was involved,
yeah.
I thought, like, I saw The Gentleman, I loved it. I
all
saw
right.
Snatched, I loved it. I loved
Tawanda loved The Gentleman.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoke. I loved those movies.
Yeah.
I loved them. So, yeah, I expect it to be something other than The Transporter 2.
Have you seen Greenland?
Greenland.
Gerard Butler, Marina Baccaro, the chick from Homeland.
No, but I
wife,
love her.
Love her.
No, I didn't see it.
I came home from Magoobies the other night. Tawana starts watching this. This was the most stressful fucking movie I've ever seen. I couldn't. I said I got to go to bed.
Man, I couldn't have watched
it. I came home because I wanted to just, you know, relax after the night. And then I said, I can't. This is so. Everything that was happening was just so. Basically, they live in some nice neighborhood. They're having a get together. They're all sort of work for the government in some capacity. And, like, some meteor fucking lands in Florida. And Gerard Butler gets a text. By the way, they hack into his fucking cable. It comes up. You've been selected. Take your wife and your kid and no one else. And we're going to meet here at this fucking army base or whatever. And they're going to take you. Basically, the world's ending. He's like some engineer, and they're going
to
need him. So everyone else, it's also in the government. It's at this party. It's like, well, we didn't get something. We didn't. So they're all freaking out. What, you're leaving? Without, you can't take us? And then so they try to leave, and some woman jumps in front. Take my kid. She's crying.
Yeah.
The fucking wife's crying. Everyone's just crying. They get to the place. It's fucking chaos. They go in. The kid's diabetic. He knocks over his fucking insulin. It falls in the car. They don't pack it. They go in. There's a whole line. They got to get through that. Then they got to go back, get the insulin. He goes back to get it. But then the wife says something to a guard, and he's like, your kid has insulin? No, he can't go. We can't. Everybody's sick. So they get separated. It's just everything that could go wrong, could go wrong. And I'm like, this is so fucking frustrating. I had to stop watching it.
Thank you. I won't watch that.
Did you see if it was well-reviewed?
I don't remember. I felt like it was in the 50, 60 range.
Oh, yeah. We don't go see movies usually like
that. Because I watched about a half hour. At that point, not one good thing had fucking happened. By
78%
okay.
is what it has.
All right. Well, not maybe it's good. And I just couldn't handle it. But she did a couple dumb things. It was like, why didn't you just wait at the car for him? They got separated. She got shot at. The kid got kidnapped. I mean, everything is just not one good thing had happened in a half hour.
Robbie loved the show 24.
Now, well, I love 24.
Now, I watched 24. I watched, I don't know, maybe four or five episodes of it.
Yeah, I love it.
And I'm like, fuck this. That's not a day. If a guy went through a day like that, he'd be so fucked up, he couldn't function. That's not a day. I was like, this is not. No, if that one of those things happened, you'd have PTSD. You could have it happen every hour on the hour. You couldn't fucking survive it. So that
oddly enough, the show works better when you binge it and you watch them right in a row.
And you're just fucking going. It's like this show.
Yeah, and it's just so crazy.
Yeah. The crazy thing about 24 is, you know, he never built up any benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
He'd save the world like three straight times. And then the next time, the
they
next season.
They think he was full of shit, right?
They're like, well, I don't believe you.
Yeah,
like,
right.
What do I have to fucking do for you to just trust my instincts?
That happens a lot.
Well, yeah. That's it. Like every show.
Just
that's
like the show Homeland. Yeah, Homeland is a good
right.
example.
Never
Jack
Carey.
Yeah. What's it? Jack, the guy who the guy from The Office plays now.
Oh, Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan.
Yeah, you're
Jack
right.
Ryan's always yes. right. Jack yeah, Ryan absolutely. Always knows what's going on, but nobody ever believes him.
Right.
No, that's. Well, you can't have a, if they just believe him and then they do it, there's no show.
Exactly.
So
well, they
I
have to write
it.
Another half hour of fucking plot lines.
But, you know, I understand if you want to be great. See, that's what this movie is, Wrath of Man. If you just literally take the least path of least resistance
right.
until you get to the end, you can get it done. But you have to kind of deal with those. You have to deal with that, what you
right.
just discussed. And if you don't deal with it appropriately, people are like, all right, what's popcorn? You know, it's the difference between The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad.
Did
you know
you
I mean?
Did you quit Walking Dead?
God, who hasn't? Is anybody watching
yeah,
Walking Dead?
Man, Tawana's I was so done.
She is?
Yeah.
She's the one.
Ugh.
Well, they keep making it. They're making the other one, too. Someone's watching
for
it.
For Tawanda? They make it just for
I'm
her?
I'm pretty sure she's not buying any gear. So.
Yeah, when they didn't maim and stab Negan and cut his legs off at the end when they caught him, and I was like, I'm done.
And then didn't Negan, if I'm not mistaken, he became a character that basically
yes.
they kept around?
Yes.
Because he was
dumb.
Murdering and raping
people.
Yeah,
he
people.
Just completely killed the most likable characters on the show. And then, oh, we're supposed to forget about that?
Yeah,
they did kept killing off great players. Characters and replacing them with nowhere near as good.
He's just a reprehensible,
right.
and I wanted them to do something so bad to him to get some satisfaction.
Well, apparently they just aired his, because I did catch some of this, his backstory, which is interesting. Well, I don't know what's interesting.
They're doing that now?
But it's interesting that they'd...
Eight seasons after the fact?
Yeah, fuck that.
It was so popular they made a second one.
Which is still on, too.
God, that surprises me. Hey, you know what? The X Factor's still on, and American Idol's still on. Yeah, I mean,
well, but those shows, it's a whole new thing. It's the same thing.
I guess
but
my
it's
point
not,
is that
yeah.
they have this past glory, and they're like, let's try to recapture this shit.
My issue was I wanted to see a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I need to know that this is gear. Like, you know, when you watch Breaking Bad, okay, this is gonna come to a head.
Right.
You know,
there's
Sopranos.
A story arc that you can count.
Yes.
Oh, I got you. But The Walking Dead, it's basically the same. How many stories can you have? You have
right.
villains and you have zombies, and they just keep trying to crop those.
Well,
those
yeah.
up.
To me, the ending is they find a cure to kill all the zombies, but that they don't even talk about that.
No, you're right. That's at season one.
Yes,
right.
Season one or two.
But once that's
over.
Not even considered, then I'm like, well, this is just forever. People are going to keep dying. There's no way to stop people from dying and turning into zombies.
Yeah, so I stuck with fear a little bit longer.
You're the one watching both, Rob?
No. I don't watch any of them. But I stayed with fear a little bit after I quit Walking Dead. And then they killed off one of the best characters on that show. So I'm done.
Well, I will say this, and I'm going to read what Ariel said, and then we're going to take a break, and I'm telling you about another show I'm watching. But I was so happy when they killed off Carl. I was like, all right, well, good.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Well, that's good. This kid, and that's the thing. You run a risk when you put a kid in a show.
Yeah.
Will this kid be able to act?
Yeah.
And he couldn't, so they fucking killed him. That's exactly what happened. And here's the thing. You can usually tell when you see a kid is like, is this kid going to be a badass or is he going to be? Because what happened is that the kid Carl was such a pussy that when they tried to make him tough, it was unwatchable. Nobody would believe that that kid was tough. It's age. Like every kid his age could kick his ass. How am I supposed to believe? And then, by the way, there was a episode where Carl got into a fist fight with another kid.
Yeah.
Okay. And it literally looked like a slap fight at the bus stop between, you know, two third graders.
Did you guys watch The Strain?
Tawanda watched that.
Well, I love, you know, what's his name? Benicio Del Toro. No, I mean, help me out with his name. The guy who did Pan's Labyrinth. What's his name? He did The Strain, right?
He was one of the executive producers, but they actually.
Guillermo Del Toro.
Guillermo, that's it. Guillermo.
They actually changed kids midstream because they wanted to go from this innocent, like, sweet kid. They had to turn him into, like, a bad guy.
I'm
kind
okay with that.
And they literally changed kids so they
could
do that.
Fine. Good. That's
yes,
what
that's what they
should
have done with
do.
Carl.
Anyway, we're going to take a break after this, but Ariel says, my Walking Dead theory is the finale will be Rick waking up from that coma, and he'll have imagined everything that happened.
Yeah.
People would be pissed if that
happened. They would be pissed. Now I'm rooting for that to happen.
All right, Rob and Joe Show, we'll be right back.
Rob's long-awaited Dry Bar Comedy Special is finally here. It's available for free on the Dry Bar Comedy app. The reviews are in. Gramps says, stop telling jokes about my girlfriend. Mac Bergson said, I wish Robbie produced it. Joe Robinson said, it's the pie plate closer of comedy specials. So download the Dry Bar Comedy app and watch Rob's special.
All we watch is HGTV and then the Murder Channel. It's just Property Brothers, Menendez Brothers, just nonstop. She wants us to buy a house, renovate it, flip it, buy a new house, and in that new house, murder me. That's her whole 10-year plan. So
never estimate the laughs.
Macy Harris, America's first African-American bachelorette. I'm listening to The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
I've forgotten about that.
She was definitely not the first African-American.
She was not.
I don't even think, was she even on the show?
She tried to be.
Yeah. She gave it her best, but.
Oh, well.
So.
Get them next time.
Starts in 2 weeks, Rob. Can't wait.
Wait a minute. Who? I'm so behind. It's
Katie.
Katie Robinson?
She really? Yeah. I was wondering where she's been.
Uh-oh. It's the one who presented the black guy, the black bachelorette, with the black bachelor with the dildo. Remember?
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's great. I love her. She's going to be great on that show.
Okay. Well, I'm pro sex toys on episode one, so that's good. I didn't think people liked her, though. Didn't everybody hate her?
Robbie does.
In the house?
Oh, well, the girls in the house hated her. Of course they did, because she was so nice and attractive.
All right, I guess we have to do another bachelor pool then.
No.
Nobody cares about The Bachelorette, really.
My son, James, says, hey, I want you to watch this show. I want you to give it a shot. It's called Attack on Titan. Okay? Now, let me tell you what this show is.
A cartoon or something?
It's a cartoon.
All right.
It's anime. Okay.
Does he not know you?
Well, I mean, if something is great, like I've seen Spirited Away. I've seen some great movies that are in that genre. I've seen, you know what I mean?
This is a movie or a TV show?
This is a TV show. And the idea is there's all these giant monsters, basically, that come walking in and they eat people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's basically contending with that. So how many episodes do you think I watched of this?
I think you... two, because you love your kid.
I watched like 25 episodes.
Okay, you loved him that much.
At the end of the 25th episode, I didn't know who anybody was. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. It was the worst shit I ever saw. And I'm like, God, this is so fucking horrible. What is this? But I'm like, I wanted to, because he said season one might, but then you got to watch it and it gets this. So I'm trying to wait for this thing to kind of grab me. And it's shit.
What did you say to him?
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
You want to call him?
No, I do not. But
why not?
However,
we've never had him on the, any of your sons on our show.
Yeah, that's a good point. Although my oldest tell you another story real quick. Then I'm gonna go back to this.
All right.
My oldest graduated from college on Friday.
Oh.
Okay.
Congratulations, Joey.
He sent me the link so I could watch the graduation.
Okay.
Okay. Now, let me, if I may.
You may.
So what happens is it started at 10 o'clock. I was on the air that day, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so he sent me the link so I could watch the, what do you call it?
The live stream?
It is a live stream, but I didn't realize they're not there. The kids aren't there.
So there's no one. There's not a live stream of the event. It's all streaming. He's at his house,
but it is a live.
Why would you watch?
It is a live stream of an event. I'm going to show it to you.
Could he just recorded his?
I'm going to show it to you. Okay, let me get the. We are going to have to do it 6 seconds long. So while I try to get this, okay.
All right.
So here's his graduation. I'm going to try to play it on the air here. Ready?
Okay. Yeah, he's holding the dog.
Six seconds.
That's it?
That's it. Okay, so that was his graduation. How long do you think I waited to see that? Now, again, I'll play it again. Here we go. Joseph M. Robinson. Okay, how long? How long did I wait?
That's your
2 hours.
Isn't that your name?
Yeah. We both have the same name.
All right. I think you waited 90 minutes.
Well, the good news is I can actually see the time. So it started at 10 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
What time did I film that?
That's 1:04 p.m.
That's correct. Three hours and four minutes to see them say his fucking name on there, right? And I said, hey, dude, I'm proud of you.
Wasn't it alphabetical?
Well, that's the problem, is that it was alphabetical, but also alphabetical by major.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Now, the first majors they did were the Bachelor of the Arts.
Mm-hmm.
He is a Bachelor of Science. So they went through all the Bachelors of Arts all the way alphabetically, right, till they went to the Bachelor of Science. Now, I thought his major was computer science. No, it's not computer science. It's fucking information systems. So it's the ninth letter of the alphabet, not the third. And how many people do you think majored in information systems?
I
don't know, the whole school. So I had to watch all the other people who did all the other majors that were in the arts. I don't know, 1,000 people.
Did your wife watch this too, or was she like, I'm not watching that crap?
I literally sent that to her. So I, by the way, if I do it over again, I go, hey, send that to me. Well, it's funny because I had something I had to do.
Watch Teen Titan or whatever it's called.
And Attack on Titan. And I'm like, should I go? And do this thing I have to do for work. And so I did. I left and I came back. I didn't miss it. Not even worried at all. I was able to see
even everything. If you saw it, you didn't miss it. I mean, there's nothing to see.
I could have just
told him. Who let you down more? Your youngest making you watch this show or your oldest with this bullshit graduation?
They both are pretty disappointing. No. And I was texting Joey the whole time.
That's a good title of the show. They both are pretty disappointing.
I was texting Joey the whole time. I'm like, are you fucking serious? And of course, I love him. He's like, you don't have to watch it. But of course, I wanted to see it. Well, I wanted to see them say his name and show me a picture of my son, who I then saw the next day.
Sure.
But
I don't think the payoff was there.
You know where we went for dinner for his graduation?
Did you do it in person or was it a virtual meal?
We didn't. His mom took him to dinner. I didn't even get to go.
You didn't take him to Melting Pot?
No, I didn't take him to Melting Pot. Him and I went to Grumps the next day, had breakfast.
Grumps?
It's a breakfast
place. It's a Gramps breakfast?
Yes, that's right.
It's like Gramps when there's no women to hit on.
That's right. You hit on women the whole time, and you look over your shoulder the whole time wondering where your food is, where the check is.
So you back to the Titan, Clash of the Titans.
Right, so I'm watching Attack on Titan. It's horrible. But I say to my, you know, we have nerd friends. I say to Tommy, Eric, and Justin, I say, have you seen Attack on Titan? Of course, all of them have seen it.
Right, and they love it.
Nah, they don't love it.
But they at least understood it.
They go, watch this other thing.
Oh, see, now you're...
Now, normally, I'm like, well, I hate this. Why would I watch this other thing? But they told me to watch this show called One Punch Man. Robbie, have you heard of One Punch Man?
It sounds vaguely familiar. What is that?
Well, it's anime. And it is a fucking, I loved it. Okay. So I'm sure you know what, if the only exposure I have to anime is when my son watched Dragon Ball Z.
Okay? I've heard of that.
That's, and it's basically, it's drawn in this certain way, mm-hmm. and they yell at each other like for 20 minutes and then they do some fucking crazy punch. Anyway, and then the other person talks to the other person for 20 minutes, and then they do another punch. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's hard to watch, and it's dumb. But that's my only exposure. Well, this show, One Punch Man, is that, except for they have this one guy in here who's basically just coming to just punch you one time. And fucking,
in a world of superhuman beings, Saitama is a unique hero. He can defeat enemies with a single punch. It's like you with your comedy. Just a single joke, you can defeat crowds.
That's right. But anyway, I love it because...
One pie plate,
it's
man.
So funny. I'll tell you the things that I think are the funniest is that he has a sidekick who basically worships him because he literally is the best superhero.
Right, it takes him two punches?
Right. Sidekick. He's like, Master, tell me how you show me the way. How did you become so strong? He goes, well, every day I do 100 push-ups. And I do 100 sit-ups. I do 100 squats. So that's how he got his superpowers. Anyway, so he's not really a traditional character, and he exists inside of this world where he just goes around and punches people one time. So that's a show that I really, really enjoy, One Punch Man. By the way, it's also, I think, 3 years old.
Yeah, it's got good reviews. Anybody in chat seen any of this stuff?
Nobody. Ariel said Breaking Bad is easily the greatest show of all time. That's easily as... I would not have a problem with that unless if she didn't say easily. Easily is not true.
That's one of your things you say. You always put that qualifier on it that makes it.
What's that?
You'd say something like easily or.
I do. Give me an example.
You'll say if you don't like this show, you should fucking take a bullet to your head and shoot yourself, kill your whole family.
Yes, that's
true. You go far. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I mean is it's. If you told me Breaking Bad is you think it's the greatest show of all time,
yes.
I wouldn't fight you on it. But it's not easily.
I want to know Ariel's
True Detective season one
right.
is good as Breaking Bad.
But that's just one season.
Okay, fair enough.
That's like saying one game is as good as the season for a team.
Well, no, it is a season.
Yeah, to maintain it over that amount of time. And not only that, it gets better as it goes along.
Oh, apparently Robbie also thinks it's easily the best show.
Well, I just happen to just think that every show I've ever watched, there's weak episodes. But the weakest episodes of Breaking Bad are in the very beginning, and it only gets better as it goes along.
What's Gramps' favorite TV show of all time?
Well, he only watches four. Although, you know what? I saw him watching Seinfeld.
Criminal Minds.
Yeah, he does like Criminal Minds, but really, he watches Blue Blood. I'll tell you what he watches more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
That Blue Bloods.
He watches this more than anything. And it is the new Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, the new one, huh?
He watches...
That's still on, or is it reruns? I don't even know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what he's watching. But it's in there, and it's, by the way, you know the plot. You've never seen it. You could just describe it.
Yes. It's probably some hot chicks in there.
There's hot chicks in there. Yeah. You know, everybody's wearing Hawaiian shirts.
Isn't it James Caan's kid?
James Caan's kid is in it. Some other good-looking guy is in it. Yeah, I mean, you know the story.
Of course.
So he loves Hawaii Five-0, but actually, it's funny because he hates James Caan's kid.
He's one of the stars.
He's one of two stars, yes. Right. It's funny you say that because he also watches The Big Bang Theory, hates Sheldon.
Yes.
It's like, how does that...
Does he watch Friends, too?
He watches Friends.
Who does he hate on there?
He doesn't think Jennifer Aniston is hot. You know that. Yes. We already know about that. She's not hot. Yeah, I don't even know how he enjoys TV because he doesn't like the characters on the only shows he watches. Oh, you know who else he doesn't like? Steve Harvey.
What? That's... He loves the families on Family Feud.
He only likes the families, yeah. So, yeah, I'm not... Yeah, that's a good question. What is he? Who does he actually like? I don't know the answer
He's
to that.
Like show announcer Tim with his sports teams. These are the teams he roots for, but he hates them all. Can we get chat? Who else? Is anyone chiming in on Ariel's favorite show of all time? Are they agreeing? Are they coming at the queen?
Ariel said the show name should be easily the best. Benchwarmer says Jennifer Aniston is too old for Gramps.
Yeah, easily the best. That's not bad.
So Miggity Max said I quit watching when Grace Park left Hawaii Five-0. I assume Grace Park is an Asian American. Is
she,
that
she is?
And I assume she's super hot. And then Mac
Park is attractive.
In his pursuit to stop Asian hate.
Yep.
Once she was taken off the show, he refuses to watch it. I
guess
Korean
American.
She's Korean.
You got to make a stand.
I assume with the name Park, last name Park.
Yep. I mean, I'm just agreeing. I don't have no idea.
Yeah, I have a bet right now, by the way, and I don't know if this is going to work. People hate when we talk about sports, but I have a bet with show announcer Tim. Right now, the Wizards, his basketball team,
yeah,
they are playing the number one seed, the 76ers, and he has a bet that he says the Wizards won't win one game. It's a seven-game series. He's saying they won't win one game. And I said, all right, well, just for fun, I'll bet $20. He goes, make it 40. This is his team.
Right.
So now he has to aggressively root against his team when the Caps lost yesterday to the Bruins and were knocked out of the playoffs. He posted a disparaging picture of Alexander Ovechkin, right? When I said that
he celebrates his team's losses more than
he celebrates the losses. When I posted this thing about ranking the defenses in the NFL, the Washington football team, his football team, we're ranked number one. He goes, yeah, but their quarterback's ranked 19th. Immediately shits on him, right?
What a gay line.
He shits on the Nats all the time.
Right.
I don't even understand how you can even enjoy being a fan of sports if all you do is just speak disparagingly about the teams that you root for. Now he actually has money against the team winning one game.
Right.
He doesn't want his team to win.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs. He doesn't want them to win one game. That team had a 0.6% chance, the Wizards did at one point this season, of making the playoffs. He made them the entire time during the stretch when they were worming their way back into the playoffs. He was shitting on them the whole time.
And now,
I just woke up, motherfucker.
When they lost the other day, he immediately texted you, basically just talking shit. Like, he's gloating.
Yeah, right. And I said, well, Tim.
He's gloating over because his team that he loves lost. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and they covered the spread. They competed. They were on the road, and they were against the number one seed, and he's thrilled. And he's going to be thrilled every single time they lose until they win. And when if they lose all four games and I lose the bet, he's going to be so happy that he gets to shit on me. He doesn't care about the money. He cares about berating me.
All right. Robbie sent this thing, the most common English idioms and phrases. Do you want to table that? We're almost done here.
Real quick, Max says in chat, my favorite show announcer Tim's story of all time when he listed the worst moments of all time. Number two was one of his parents dying. Number one was when the Ravens won a playoff game.
Tim's highs are high. He has some great moments. It's a fucking whirlwind with that guy. All right. Hey, come out this Sunday.
Yes.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be at McGoobie's Joke House, 7 p.m., the final rose. The full cast and crew. You'll see Robbie. You'll see hopefully a packed house. Or as packed as they're going to get these days.
They'll allow me.
They'll
allow us, I mean.
You're going to see, just like we used to do it, back in the good old days of 2019. We promise you a good time. McGoobie's Joke House this Sunday, 7 p.m. Also, we've rebooked that Annapolis show. I don't know if we've mentioned that. August 1st.
Gramps will be at that show.
Gramps will be there. Yeah. August 1st. You fly to Annapolis, Mac. And the day before that, July 31st, we're back at the Bright Box in Winchester, Virginia, one of our favorite venues that we're so happy that we'll be able to open and get back to being a great venue.
Also, real quick, another plug. Ariel said she bought a table for the McGoobie show. So
yes.
If you come to the show this Sunday
That's
night
huge.
At McGoobie's, not only can you meet myself, Rob, Justin Schlegel, Eric Woodward, Tommy Sabazo, Sean Gabbert, Katie Robinson,
yes.
Robbie Robinson, but you can also eat.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
No, you cannot eat her. You can only meet her.
Maybe, if she allows it. Later.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.